Our epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, reading the first 11 verses. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm wondering how many of us made a New Year's resolution to exercise more. And if you did, I encourage you to follow through and keep exercising. Oh, and by the way, I'm a pastor, not a gym trainer. So I'm not specifically referring to physical exercise, though that's always a good idea, but rather to spiritual exercise. So I'd like for us to reflect this day on the notion of spiritual gifts. What are they? How do we get them? How do we put them into practice? Well, let me tell you right from the start, you will get a different answer from a conservative evangelical pastor than you will from a progressive one. So let's start with the basics. Let's start with the Bible. A very Presbyterian thing to do, regardless of where one finds oneself on the theological spectrum. And liturgically, this is a timely reflection, for just last week on Baptism of the Lord Sunday, we explored how the meaning of our baptism serves both as a sign that we are a valued and beloved part of the family of God, and that we are called for service to further the ways of God in our midst and in the world. Therefore, through our baptism, the call to continue the ministries begun by Jesus extends to each and every one of us, not just to those who are ordained and installed into church leadership positions. And today's epistle lesson from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthian congregation serves to further this understanding. And Paul does this through a discussion of what he calls spiritual gifts, or the manifestation of the Spirit. And you may remember that the word manifestation is the English translation of the Greek word epiphany. So it's very fitting for this liturgical season of Epiphany. Now, if I were to ask of you to reflect upon and then to list your spiritual gifts, what would that list contain? Well, some might wonder, I'm not quite sure. Paul wants us to realize that ultimately no one's list would be empty, because each of us has been gifted by God. And perhaps Paul's most important point is why each one of us is blessed with a variety of spiritual gifts and talents. It's stated clearly in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's perhaps the main point of this whole passage, and we'll return to it in a moment. Because Paul goes on to present a list of spiritual gifts, including wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, discernment, various kinds of tongues, or the ability to interpret those tongues. But you know, there are other lists from the Apostle Paul that occur in other epistles. And Paul mentions other gifts of the Spirit, including some very concrete things, such as serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, generosity, hospitality, leadership, mercy, and administration. And another one of his lists include various church leadership roles, such as apostles, evangelists, and preachers. And in my opinion, Paul has missed listing some very important gifts, like how to fix things, and things like technological and computer knowledge. Now, what do you suppose the underlying issue to Paul was that he was addressing? Well, in a nutshell, it was about finding unity within that congregation and becoming all that community of faith could become. And biblical scholars surmise that there was an enormous amount of diversity in that ancient congregation, and it was often expressed through factions and dissension and divisions, cliques and power struggles, not uncommon in organized religion to this day. And when Paul emphasizes that each one of us in a community of faith is gifted in a different manner, he intends to counteract, well, one, self-centeredness, but also the human tendency to compare ourselves to others in a competitive and often even judgmental way. For when that happens, it's not a big step away from arrogance, including spiritual arrogance, and a sense of superiority over others. Or the opposite happens, a growing sense of being inferior, of having nothing worth sharing. We are not meant to see differing gifts, therefore, in a hierarchical fashion, but simply as different gifts for different purposes and functions within the congregation. Preaching, for instance, as I mentioned with the children, is not a greater spiritual gift than the ability to manage finances, or prepare a meal for someone in need, or sing in the choir, or teach our children, or greet visitors, or know how to get that heater fixed when it breaks, or any other of the countless necessities of effectively being the church. And it cannot be overemphasized how we are to think of our giftedness by God, not for our individual glory, but rather for the common good. And if the common good is the goal of using our gifts and talents, then an obvious correlation can be made that if we are not sharing our gifts and abilities with the community of faith and in our daily lives, then the common good is not as good as it could be. Ministry, we must constantly remind ourselves, is everybody's responsibility, not just the paid church staff or the ruling elders on the session. And again, notice how Paul connects spirituality and the spiritual gifts with very concrete things. Things that are necessary to function, to be a relevant community of faith. For this keeps us from developing a sort of hierarchy based on who's got the Spirit and who doesn't. Because here's a spoiler alert. We all got it. We come to realize, as biblical commentator Ray Wynn Whiteley puts it, gifts are not merit badges for holiness, or a sign of approval from God, but God's response to the needs of our community. How, therefore, can the full range of the gifts exhibited by the total membership of this congregation be recognized and encouraged and supported and welcomed into the service of Christ in and through our ministry together, to each other, and certainly to our neighborhoods and to the world? So please take the following to heart. If your gift is wisdom, we need it. If your gift is knowledge or teaching or administration, we need it. If your gift is music or art, we need it. If your gift is in prayer, we need it. If it is in public speaking, we need it. If it is in compassion or hospitality or generosity, we need it. If it is in technology, oh, we need it. If it is in the use of tools or working with your hands, we need it. If it is in, and you fill in the blank of your gifts and your passions, then we need it to build up our community of faith in this time and place. And this passage of Scripture teaches us that our gifts, talents, and abilities are not accidental. And our passion and energy for specific tasks is not accidental. So remember, all our gifts, services, and activities are activated by God in and through the Holy Spirit dwelling within each one of us for the purpose to be used for the common good. For as Karen Stokes summarizes, Paul's words offer a refreshing, even shocking reminder that faith, while personal, is never private, and that the gift each person has been given is meant to be shared. So let us share generously with one another. And one of the things we can share with the larger Tulsa community as College Hill Presbyterian is working to fulfill the third point of our mission statement. Reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. And in recognition of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday this weekend, we would be remiss if we didn't speak out against racial injustices that continue to plague this city and this nation and this world. After the Terrence Crutcher killing in 2016 of an unarmed black man shot by a white police officer, an intentional group of white progressive pastors have been meeting monthly ever since. And an initial purpose of our gathering was to help us to figure out how best to address issues of race within the specific congregation we serve. Soon, however, we discovered that wasn't the place to start. The place to start meant looking at our own selves in the mirror and dealing with the elements of racism and white privilege that is found within ourselves. And we've read and discussed several books, and one that we just finished last week is Anxious to Talk About It, Helping White Christians Talk Faithfully About Racism. And it's by Professor Carolyn B. Helsel. And she's a preaching professor at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And she is white. And I've recently purchased her companion book, even though I haven't read it yet, Preaching About Racism, A Guide for Faith Leaders. Martin Luther King Jr. was a remarkably gifted leader who, among others, influenced to this day what it means for us to try to live into a beloved community. So may we all reflect upon that tomorrow and beyond. And may we also be intentional about discovering and sharing our own Spirit-giving gifts. For College Hill as a community of faith is blessed and gifted in so many ways. All you have to do is look around you. Yet as a part of the body of Christ, it takes all of us sharing our particular gifts together to live into the fullness that this community of faith can be and become. And remember, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Amen.